The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
We chase the highest mountain, it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day.
Son was sent from above, and his name was Jesus. He was given in love, bridging the gap that was caused by our sin, and only his blood could reach where fallen man had been.
Only his blood.
Precious is the blood that began at Calvary, flowing still today for a sinner like me. Washed in his blood, my sins are not seen. When God looks at me, he sees me clean and redeemed.
I was reminded a while ago when I was sitting over there right after we had got done praying, or while we was praying, I do want you to remember Brother Danny's wife, Linda. I know she was here this morning. It's good to see her, but continue to pray for her And I do remember Pam Johnson's nephew, Timmy Billings. He's up in Elkin Hospital. I got to see him the other night, and just in need of a touch and needing God to help him. So please do just help us pray about that. And there's others I know that's been sick and got some other things on the horizon. But let's pray most of all for lost people. Let's pray for one another. Man, I want to be a blessing to somebody. I hope you want to be a blessing to somebody. And y'all a tough crowd tonight. I don't know. Maybe somebody must eat too much chicken. It's awful quiet in here. And it'll be a whole lot easier if you'll help me, if you'll smile at me or something. But anyhow, Nehemiah chapter number 3 is where we're going to look. And we got already went a couple messages out of these gates, and the Lord sort of steered my heart back here. There's a lot of truth in here that I need. I believe that all of us need, no doubt, in our heart and in our life. These gates are a picture. I know they were literal gates. I know the sheep gates where the sheep went in. I know the fish gate is where they'd bring the fish in to go into the market. I understand the old gate was there, that corner. We'll talk about that tonight. I've already looked at the valley gate, and there's 10 of these gates. It's worth hitting again. 9 of them were in need of repair. Only one didn't need repairing, and that was the water gate, and that is a picture of the Word of God. I'm glad the Word of God ain't broken, and I'm glad it's forever settled in heaven. We'll say more about that when we get to that gate, if the Lord permits. But tonight we're going to talk about this old gate that the Lord has laid out for us here. Of course, this was a literal gate, but it's got great applicational messages or a message that we can apply to our heart and our life. I want you to notice with me in verse number 6. The Bible said, moreover, and of course Nehemiah 3 and verse number 6, moreover the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besadiah. They laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. Now let's pray. Father, as we come to you, God, again tonight, Lord, just be reminded, Lord, that that blood will never lose its power. Thank you, Lord, there's sufficient grace and there's saving grace in the blood of Jesus. There's one listening tonight, never been saved, don't have their sins forgiven. God, I pray that they'd receive the free gift of salvation tonight. I thank you for your word. Lord, it is holy, it's undefiled, and without error. God, I need that touch. I need that unction. I need that help. God, I can't manufacture something. Lord, you're going to have to help us as we preach. And I pray, God, it did fall on good, fertile ground. God, help us to understand some principles about this old gate. Help us to apply it. And God, we'll be careful to give you thanks and praise for all you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people see it. Amen. Well, we've read verse number 6, of course, talking about this old gate. And up at this particular time, we've already seen the sheep gate. And Nehemiah started in chapter 3 and verse 1. And then in verse number 32, he mentioned the sheep gate as well. That sheep gate is the only gate that is sanctified. And according to the Word of God, it was sanctified twice. In verse number 1, it was set apart. And that sheep gate is where the sheep would go in. But that is a great picture and a great parallel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, John the Baptist said it well, the best in John 1:29. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I'm glad that once and for all, we had a sacrifice, and we don't have to go on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night in order to worship to get God's attention to kill some kind of sacrifice, because once and for all, Jesus didn't pay some of the debt or part of the debt. Thank God he paid it in full when he went through that sheep gate. Of course, those sheep that went in during Nehemiah's day, they never came back out, but I'm glad our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, came back out, and he certainly came back out of the tomb after he presented himself a sacrifice for sin, the one that knew no sin, the one that was sinless, was without blemish, was without spot. He wasn't hanging and dying on a cross for his sin. He is dying for mine. Make it personal. He is dying for you and the sins of the whole world. He was dying for whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what a picture that is of the sheep gate looking to Calvary. But then we look this morning at the fish gate. And that fish gate, again, how do we get into the Christian life? You got to go through the sheep gate. You got to go through and by the Lord Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with him. If you want to be a part of the family of God, you got to get saved. You got to call on the name of the Lord and believe that he died for you. Believe that he was buried and believe that he rose again the third day, and he can forgive you of all your sin. That's how you get on board the Christian life and the Christian journey. But once we're saved, there's some requirements. Once we're saved, there's some obligations. Once we're saved, there's some privileges. And man, the privileges are literally out of this world. The benefits are out of this world. You read Romans 5, if you ever get depressed, ever get feeling sorry for yourself, you just read Romans chapter number 5 and you'll have to agree, man, in Christ I'm blessed. You got access, you got peace, you've been justified. So many things he mentions in Romans chapter number 5. But once we get saved, we believe in the ministry of multiplication, sharing the gospel with somebody else. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse number 19, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But as we hit this morning, sometimes we don't fish because we got too much stuff in the boat. But I'm convinced we need to get folks hooked on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is still the answer to the addict. He is still the answer to the alcoholic. He's still the answer to those that are hung up in immorality and different things, all types of sin. He is the answer. He's the antidote. He's the remedy. He's the only one. He's the only way. And thank God he will change your life. I love that song, man, that the choir was singing a while ago. He came and he changed my life. I can testify to that. I still ain't what I need to be, but I can look back and I can say, thank God I ain't what I used to be. Not by my good efforts, not by my good works, not by my good deeds, not because of anything like that, but because the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, sir. And yes, ma'am, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's changed my life. He's changed others. And he will change yours. And Jesus is the answer, but we've got to tell others about Christ. As I hear somebody done that survey years ago, and they said people that's been saved less than 2 years, that accounts for most of the soul winning activity because folks are still excited. So you know what that tells me? People that's been saved over 2 or 3 years, they don't have the excitement to share the gospel with others. It lets me know that you might have, I include myself, we might have too much stuff in the boat. We make time for everything else, but sometimes we don't make time for the most important things, and there's nothing more important. Listen to me carefully. Nothing more important than a man, woman, boy, or girl's soul. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere, either a heaven or a hell. If you don't know Christ, you're going to hell. If you know Christ, you're going to heaven. Well, if we love people, we ought to be able to share the gospel with those around us, and that is a picture of the fish gate. But then we come to the old gate here in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse number 6. Now, when you think about this, all of these gates point, I believe it parallels the Christian life. Once we get saved, we, of course, go through the sheep gate, through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to win people unto the Lord. We're to be fishers of men. That fish gate speaks of evangelism, trying to tell others about Christ. But this old gate is very, very important. Nehemiah is the only biblical writer that calls this the old gate. You'll see it referred to as the corner gate, but here he calls it the old gate. Now, if you could go to the New Testament to parallel what this gate represents, in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 18, Brother Howard, it said, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You and I, once we get saved, we are to grow. Did you know if we're not growing, that is sinful? Well, Brother Baldwin hit it good the other night on Friday night. He was talking about adding unto your faith. Adding unto your faith. We're to add. We're to grow. We're to nurture some things. There should be some fruit in our heart and in our lives. But we're to grow. Well, how are we supposed to grow? Well, we grow by the Word of God. We'll talk about that when we get to the water gate. But we grow by, and these two gates sort of go together. This old gate is a picture of truth. Now, when you think about this old gate, the elders would meet here and they would read the law, and oftentimes they would discuss problems. Now, let me just give you just a little bit of history about this old gate. It was located in the northwest part of the city. Many believe that this was the first gate that was made in Jerusalem. Many commentators believe that. Only Nehemiah, as I said a moment ago, it mentions it as the old gate. The oldest section of the city had been run over and destroyed when Nebuchadnezzar came in, but the gate had been preserved, but it was in need of repair, as eight others of these gates in chapter number 3 of Nehemiah spoke about. Now, this old gate led to the new quarter or the new section of the city. Again, it's often called the corner gate. And what does the corner gate do? When you run into a corner, it turns you one way or the other. You're forced to go one way or the other. That's what truth will do, by the way. When you're confronted with truth and you hit that corner, you will go either right or you'll go left. You'll go one way or the other. You'll go toward God or you'll go further away from God. And that's what this old gate will do for you. In the Christian life, the old gate gets overlooked as far as the application, but it's absolutely necessary for the health of the Christian and for the health of the church not to overlook this old gate. If you don't turn the corner on sin, judgment is coming. Everybody hear me? If you don't turn the corner on sin, well, what is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law. What is the law? That's the Word of God. That's why you better get acquainted with it. That's why you better get in it. You better, so you say, preacher, I don't know which direction I need to go. All I can tell you is get in the Word of God, and the Lord will give you something, because you'll have a corner. You can go one way or you can go the other. But if you don't turn the corner on sin, judgment is the only thing that remains. Now, think about this. Folks really don't like, and I'd throw myself in that group. Folks don't really like demands. They don't like requirements. They desire convenience and ease. I don't know if we've ever lived in a more convenient society, and a more society that is at ease. You know, God condemned His people. He said, "You're at ease in Zion." I said this morning, the only thing not woke seemed like in our society is the church. Still asleep. Got all the power, got all the benefits, but sometimes, man, we can't get over convenience and we can't get over the ease department. But I want you to think for just a moment. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He penned down the book of Jeremiah, which is a lengthy book. He also penned down the book of Lamentations. And, of course, Lamentations has to do with sorrow and with tears. Well, why was he the weeping prophet? Why was that label? He never had one convert that we can read of in the Word of God. Now, he had several people that helped him, but I don't read anywhere where he had one convert, Brother Brandon. But, boy, Jeremiah and Lamentations helped people down through the ages. But I want you to think about what Jeremiah preached unto the people of God prior to them going in to captivity. It was not a sugar pop message. It wasn't a watermelon sweet message. It wasn't a candy stick message. He preached unto them that if they didn't turn from their sin, judgment was coming. Well, what happened? Judgment came. Why? Because they never turned from their sin. They hit that corner. They hit that corner. And they didn't respond by faith. They done their own thing. But don't you think about Jeremiah. His main message in Jeremiah basically was to repent and return unto the Lord. Now, I jotted some of these down as I was studying through the book of Jeremiah. 13 times Jeremiah deals with backsliding in the Word of God. 53 times he dealt with sin and iniquity. 14 times he dealt with being scattered. 51 times he said captivity is coming. 47 times he said return to the Lord. So he deals with backsliding. He deals with sin and iniquity and being scattered and captivity was coming. He pronounced that judgment was on its way and they needed to return to the Lord. He had confronted them, Brother Harold, with truth. Now, what did Judah do? You can go back during the history and you can look at Jeremiah's day. What got him through down in that well was because he was battling a bunch of false prophets and a bunch of fake priests. And we see that unfold in the book of Jeremiah. And basically, this is it. He confronted that crowd about their backsliding. He encountered that crowd and exposed their sin and iniquity, and they would be scattered. Captivity was coming. They needed to return unto the Lord. But they gave heed unto the false prophets and the false preachers and the false priests, and they said, you know what, Jeremiah, I believe we'll go. We found a better way. We found a better way. They didn't like the truth that was exposed and came forth from the mouthpiece of Jeremiah about their sin. And he certainly told them about their sin, but they didn't turn the corner on sin, and judgment came. And that gets me to this, and you think about it. We think about our day today. People, I mean, if you call out things that are specific. Oh, my goodness, people don't like it. I'm talking about even in the house of God. Amen. Some folks are ready to tar and feather the preacher. Ready to get rid of the preacher. Listen, don't get mad at the preacher. The preacher's just a delivery boy, man. He's just delivering the mail. I don't have any idea. Well, I do have some idea what some folks deal with, but I don't know what everybody deals with. But God hadn't called me to beat down on people. He has called me to preach His Word and not to back up and not to squirrel away, but to pronounce the truth of God's Word. He told Isaiah, he told him, he said, hey, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions in the house of Jacob, their sins, Isaiah 58, verse number 1. That's what God told Isaiah to do in Jeremiah. Man, he wasn't a doormat. He told them exactly what they needed to do, but they didn't like the word sin. And our society does not like the word sin. Think about this, and I jotted a few of these down. The evolutionists believe that the main problem today is we're just underdeveloped. If you don't believe me, just go into some of the higher levels of education. Ain't a whole lot of horse sense up there. Ain't a whole lot of common sense up there. Evolutionists talking about our main problem is we're just underdeveloped. Then the geneticists said, well, the biggest problem is our heredity and our genes. Somebody said, well, man, why in the world is the world so corrupt? Well, listen, it was corrupt. It was so bad that God started over in the Old Testament. Yeah, man, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Well, listen, the further we get away from Adam and Eve, the genes and the heredity just gets worse and worse and worse. And I believe that's the Bible, and I believe we see that unfolding today. But listen, it was so bad that God said, I got to start over. But thank God He'll never destroy the earth again with a flood. Why? He left a promise in the cloud, man, in the bow right after the storm. When you see that cloud, don't let the LGBT community steal our rainbow, praise God. That's God's rainbow, which is a promise that He would never destroy the earth again with a flood, but He's going to destroy it again. Oh, yeah. With fervent heat, the Bible said, the book of Peter. But when you think about this, the geneticists said, well, heredity and genes is our biggest problem. The evolutionists said, well, we're just underdeveloped. The sociologists said, well, you know, the environment, that's our problem. That's our biggest problem, is environment. Well, the educators said, well, it's due to ignorance. That's why we got the problems that we got today. Well, I'll tell you this, the heart of the problem is the heart. The heart of the problem is the heart. Again, the Bible said, the book of Jeremiah 17, he was the one who said it. He talks about our heart being desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why you never should tell anybody, follow your heart. Your heart will lead you astray every time. You better follow the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and they'll never be in disagreement one with another. They'll always be in unity. They'll always be in harmony. So don't follow your heart. You better follow the Word of God and the Spirit of God as they come together in agreement. Well, why am I giving you this about Jeremiah? As we look in Nehemiah's day, the captivity has already came. And they come in, they destroyed everything. The walls went down, but the gate was preserved there, this old gate that led into the old section or the new section of the city. This old gate referred to as the corner gate. Well, you remember what Jeremiah laid out to the people before captivity came? This is what he said. You'll know this well when I start reading it. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old pass. Not the new pass, but the old pass. Wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. The people of God prior to captivity were given the opportunity with truth and said, hey, you better seek them old paths out. And they said, we ain't gonna walk that way. I believe those false prophets. I believe these fake preachers. I believe these false priests. We'll just do our own thing. Well, what did it get them? It got them captivity. It got them the judgment of God. And the same holds true today. Judgment is coming for those that won't turn the corner on sin when you're confronted with that old gate which represents the truth of God's Word, the major doctrines of the Bible. You better listen to what God's saying. Let me give you a few things here out of Jeremiah 6, verse 16. And we see, first of all, the individual that he talks about, because Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye. He didn't say stand y'all. Hey, man. Y'all is plural. He said, stand ye, singular. Brother Brandon, Miss Christie, I know neither one of them would ever be a part on this. But Brother Brandon might say, well, you know what? Christie ain't going to stand no way, so I guess I won't. Or Sister Christy might say, well, Brother Brandon won't stand in the way, so I guess I won't. Listen, which I know that ain't never going to be a problem with y'all too. But understand this. Don't matter if somebody else does or not. We're required individually. Stand ye. Singular. Now, thank God, I believe and listen, there's greater responsibility on the man, but that does not excuse the woman and the wife. All of us ought to stand individually for the old path that God has laid out for you and I. But it's an individual response. Did you see that? He said, stand ye, not y'all. He said, stand ye. That is the individual. But then there's an investigation. What is the investigation? He said, stand ye in the ways and see. Investigate. What do we investigate? Why should we, as an individual, why should I stand and why should I see and investigate? Because we're all confronted with that road. There's a picture of a road being at an intersection. You're going to go one way or the other. Sort of reminds me of that corner gate that stands up. It'll turn you one way or the other. If you don't turn away from sin, judgment will remain. And you better stand as an individual. Stand ye. And then you better see, look, with investigation. Because there's some proof. Does this old path work? Does this old way work? Or does this new way work? Well, I'll tell you right now, you look at the pages of the Word of God, thank God the old way will still work. I'm getting the cart in front of the horses already, but you better understand, man, I'm pro-old path. You better be pro-old path. Why? Because it's proven. It's precious, man. It's a necessary commodity for the church of the living God, for every individual that's born again today. Our country needs it. Our community needs it. Our children need it. Every one of us need it if we're going to move forward for the glory of God and stand in an evil day. We better hold on to the old path and the old gate. But I think about this individual, this investigation, but then there's an inquiry. We're to inquire, for the Bible said, there stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. We're to inquire. You see that individual, stand ye. Singular, and see, there's the investigation, the Bible said, and ask, there's the inquiring of the old paths. What are these old paths? Well, we may talk about that here in a few moments. We may not be able to get finished tonight, but I'm going to give you what I got. You think about this, what is this old path? It's a good way. How we know that? Well, the Bible said it was. Bible said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Now, who wants to go on the bad way? I mean, really. I can't say I never have. The majority of the people that I've met, young people and old, they desire to have good things in life and to have a good testimony and to have a good relationship with their family and their friends, but it don't always turn out that way. Why? Because of the decisions that they've made. But most folks aspire to, if they were to choose, they don't want a bad path and a rugged path. They want a good way to travel. Well, this good way in Jeremiah 6 was a proven way, that it was good. Not only was it proven, it was productive. He said, where is the good way? And walk therein. As you walk down that good way and that old path, man, it's productive. It produces things. The same holds true if you head down a bad way. That'll produce some things too. Yeah, man. Not what you want to have, but it'll produce some things. But I think about this good way. It's proven. It's productive to walk therein, but it's also peaceful. You know, we're living in a world where just conflict abounds. Conflicts abound in the political realm, in the religious realm, in the family realm, relationship, conflict. And some folks just thrive off of conflict. I don't like that stuff. Some folks just love drama. Some people ain't happy unless they got drama in their life. I mean, I don't get it. But when you think about this good way, it's proven, it's productive, but it's peaceful. He said, ye shall find rest. Notice Jeremiah 6:16. Wherein is a good way, that's proven, and walk therein, because it's productive, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But that crowd said, we ain't going that way. We found a new way. We found a new path. Remember, Jeremiah was telling them the truth, but they had hired false prophets, fake preachers, to tell them basically to pat them on the back and tell them, you just go and live however you want to. There ain't no judgment coming. Well, how we know who was right? I tell you who we know who was right. It was Jeremiah, because judgment did come. Amen. And the people went in to captivity. But they said, hey, we have found a new way. Now, I'd say this tonight by way of application. We all have choices. Can I get a witness right there? We all going to make decisions. We all going to choose paths. There is an old path. Again, a picture of the truth of God's Word, of the saints of God as they trusted the Lord. And there's a trail all the way from Genesis all the way into the future in the book of Revelation. What in the world will work? Well, I tell you, obedience to the Word of God and obedience to the will of God is something that is needed, something that is necessary from the pulpit to the pew out in the community. That's what you and I desperately need, is to hold on to the old gate and the old path, which is representative of truth. But there's some that have chosen a lot of these new paths. You remember that new cart that David tried out, and how that didn't work out good? I preached a message one time on new cart religion. It don't ever work out. You better stick to them old paths. There's a lot of folks that they get to that corner. They get to that old gate. They're confronted with truth. Which way they gonna go, Brother Danny? They gonna follow the Lord, or they gonna follow the devil? You gonna follow one or the other? And there's a lot of folks that said, you know what? I don't want the old gate. I'm gonna head down this new path, which is full of popularity and praise. Stay with me now. A lot of folks will choose that path of popularity and praise. What are you talking about, preacher? Listen to what the Bible said. Paul said in Galatians 1, verse number 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Instead of following the old path, there's a lot of folks today that have followed this new path, and it's not really that new. It's been there as well, but it's a wrong path of popularity and praise. Some folks want their horn tooted. Amen. Think about the chief rulers in John 12, verse 43. The Bible said, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Love the praise of men more than the praise of God. A lot of folks, man, they're not concerned about God. They're not concerned about giving Him honor. They're not concerned about the agenda we talked about this morning. Let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They ain't concerned about that at all. They're concerned about me, myself, and I, and popularity and praise. All I can tell you is this: you choose that path, judgment will remain. Some choose the path of prosperity, the almighty dollar. Now listen, we all got to work. We all got to live. You got to work with your hands. I mean, in order to survive, I get that. We got to have it. But it's got to be kept in a right perspective. A lot of folks have gave their souls, they gave their lives to prosperity and the almighty dollar. They have chosen that path. They have forsaken God. They've forsaken God's house. They've forsaken Him altogether. They've chosen that path. Well, what remains, preacher? Judgment. The Bible said this, Matthew 16, verse 26. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Not a price tag you can put on the worth and the wealth of a person's soul. But many have cashed that in to achieve the almighty dollar and to pursue after that prosperity. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 puts it this way: "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Many are confronted with following God and living a life of obedience unto Him. They hit that corner, and instead of following God's will, they follow their own will to try to achieve popularity and praise or prosperity. And some have chosen the road of pride. Just both. We all know both. And I think every one of us, including this preacher, every one of us have got a sense of pride inside of us. I mean, it's within our DNA. It's within our genes and our heredity. We have a sense, and there's a good sense of pride, but there's a bad sense of pride. And what I'm talking about now is that bad sense of pride, that boastfulness that a lot of folks pursue and go after. Proverbs 16, 18 still said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall." 1 Peter 5, 5 said, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." There's a lot of folks that have went down that road. Again, they make it about themselves and not about the Lord. They're confronted. They're hit that corner gate. And instead of turning the corner on sin, they follow this path of popularity and praise and prosperity and pride. Even philosophy. And boy, this is a big one. even in our day. It's not like it's a new road that they're traveling, but think about philosophy. Romans chapter 1, verse number 22 said, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Do you know there's a lot of folks that look you straight in the eye, Brother Harold? You've had it happen, I know. I've had it happen. And you ask them, they say they're saved, but you know what they say? I don't need church. I don't need the Bible. I don't need to pray, Brother Brandon. I don't need to be around God's people. Who is somebody like that? Somebody professing to be wise, but they're a fool. Amen. According to the Word of God. That crowd, it says today, that's chosen that path. They've been confronted with the truth. They say, well, hey, I can have my liquor bottle. God still loves you. Well, yes, He does love you, but He hates your sin. Amen. And that crowd that'll go that route and say, yeah, I'm right with God. That crowd that'll shack up. I understand that ain't popular today. I get it. But that's still what is still sin. Amen. A man and a woman, the Bible lays out the formula. A man is to leave his father and his mother and to be joined unto his wife. They should become one flesh. That's the biblical order. Anything outside of that is wrong. Well, there's a lot of folks that through philosophy, well, I think this and I think that. Well, you better look and see what God said. Amen. Somebody might say, man, that rubs me the wrong way, preacher. Well, you know what you do if a cat gets upset? If you're rubbing him the wrong way, just turn the cat around. Won't ruffle him anymore. If it ruffles you, man, turn your life around. When you're confronted at that gate, follow what God says, not necessarily what you want and what I. And man, this thing, the Christian life, is not like vegetable soup. That you get a big plate of vegetable soup, you know, well, I don't really want any of them carrots, so I don't really care for them, but it adds some color, I eat it. But there's some things I'll pick out. Man, if there's celery in there, if I can find it, I'm not going to eat it. It gives good flavor, but I don't like that texture. Sort of like banana pudding, man. I love banana pudding, but I'll pick out the bananas. I like the flavor. If you ever come to Mount Olympus, I'm eating banana pudding. You're going to see a little pile on the right-hand side. I love the flavor, but I've dug the bananas out. And if for some reason, and occasionally I'll get one that slips by, and I'll swallow it, but I don't really like it. But I say all that to say this. The Christian life is not like, well, you know, Lord, I really like this, what you said, but I don't really like that. It don't work like that. We don't turn the corner on sin and obey God. Judgment is coming. But philosophy, people's got their own way of thinking. I know this may be old school and old fashioned, but man, I'm going to tell you, it's proven the track record through the test of time, and we may be in a minority right here in the country in East Bend, North Carolina, to still stand on the proof, on the truth, but I'm reminded, Elijah thought he is all by himself, but God said, man, I've got 1,000 that ain't bowed the knee unto Baal. I'm telling you, there's still some that are standing on the principles of the Word of God, and we better make it clear, we better make it plain, we better preach it. I'm talking about hell hot and heaven sweet till the day that we leave out of here or till Jesus comes. Our country depends on it. Our community depends upon it. Our children depend upon it. And we better shout it from the housetops that God's right and the rest of us are fools. Yeah, man, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. There's some that'll choose that road of popularity and praise and prosperity and pride and philosophy. But then there's others that'll choose that road of pollution and perversion. Pollution and perversion. We see that all around us today. And I'm not going to really get into all that, but 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 said, wherefore come out from among them, saith the Lord, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, the Word of God is pretty clear, and we believe in a literal, historical, grammatical approach unto Scripture. God said, if you don't leave that unclean thing or wrong, He said, I'll receive you if you get away from it. But as long as you're hanging on to it, He ain't going to receive you. That's what the Bible said. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That implies if you don't, you're confronted with that truth and you've got sin here and you keep going down that path. Amen. You're beyond help. And I think about this scripture tonight. We all ought to have personal ethics. We all ought to have standards, and too many, and I'd say this, too many believers live like lost folk. Amen. There's folks that have quit coming to Mount Sinai. There's folks that have quit coming to Friendship Baptist Church, where I come out of. There's folks that have quit coming to Faith Community Baptist Church. You know why? Because they seen somebody that said they were saved and said they were a child of God living like the devil. And they say, well, I'm as good as they are. There's a bunch of hypocrites going down there. Well, now whose fault's that? It ain't God's fault. It's the individual didn't turn the corner on sin, and now blood's going to be on their hand by the way they lived their life before others. Don't tell me it don't make a difference, because it does. Makes a big, big difference. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, you and I as believers, I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. We as children of God, 1 Corinthians 2:15 said, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. We better scrutinize some things. We better sift some things. And you and I better discriminate against some things, allowing some things to come into our life. Why? Because you're going to be standing at that crossroads. Which way are you going to go? That corner gate, you're going to go the old path, following the will of God and the word of God. Are you going to go down this path that leads to destruction? And the devil will paint you a beautiful, elaborate trail, saying, oh, it looks great. But he won't show you on down the road the heartache and the difficulty and the devastation and the judgment and the ruined lives and the ruined testimonies that awaits the individual that won't follow God and follow the ways of the flesh, the world, and the devil. Folks always wanting something new, and a lot have departed from the old past. On this last part, those that fall after pollution and perversion, they tell me that, and I don't know, I've never had one. Don't want one, by the way, so don't nobody get me one of these, or Christy, or Garrett, or Grace. Don't want one, because we got four cats. And but they tell me, Brother Lynn, that canaries learn how to sing at 6 weeks old. They learn how to sing. And what they'll do, they'll mimic those that are in the cage with them. But they say if a wild bird gets in there about that time, about 6 weeks, when they start singing, they will pick up the same song of the wild birds. And the canary won't sound like a canary is supposed to sound. They will pick up because they've been surrounded in that environment with all those wild birds. Now, what's that got to do with anything, preacher? I'm telling you, God said, you better come out and be separate among. Listen, saith the Lord, there's some things we better get away from. Why? Because our environment certainly influences us. Our surrounding will influence us. You don't need to be hanging around drug dealers. Amen. You don't need to be hanging around folks that are using drugs. Just look. And it don't spell it out. It don't spell it out in the funeral column on the obituaries. But you just look at the 18-year-old to the 45-year-old died at home. Died at home. Died at home, died at home, died at home, died at home, died at home. What is that, preacher? Ask any funeral director, and I know HIPAA and all that stuff going on. There's only so much they can say, but the overdose is unbelievable here in Yadkin County. Amen. And if somebody's dealing with that stuff, listen, you don't get another option on a lot of this stuff. You take it one time, just get around it. Get it on your hands, man. It'll kill you. Get out of that stuff. Amen. If you don't turn the corner on sin, man, judgment is coming one day. I got to move on. Think about this. This old gate, what is it a picture of? It's a picture of truth. I'm going to give you one verse and I'm done right here. Sister Savannah, you come on, that'll hurry me up. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible didn't say some scripture. It said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it is literally God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, understand there's four things in there that you and I need. And it tells us some things. It tells us what's right. What is right? That's doctrine. It tells us what's not right. What's that? That's reproof. It tells us how to get right. That's correction.
It tells us how to keep it right once we got it right with the instruction. But it is the Word of God. This old gate, often referred to as the corner gate, man, you and I need to stand ye in the old path and ask for the old path. There's an individual response that I've got to make, that you've got to make. I can't make that decision for John. John can't make it for me. I can't make it for Sister Jenny. She can't make it for me. Every one of us, when we come to that crossroads, we're going to follow the old path, which is the truth of God's Word. We're going to follow God's Word. We're going to follow the will of God. We're going to follow the way of God. Or am I going to go my own way? And it's a choice at the end of the day what we're going to do. If we'll follow the Word of God, we'll know what's right. That's, again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. For reproof, that's what's not right. For correction, that's how to get it right. And for instruction in righteousness, that's how to keep it right once we get it right. We have everything we need right here. This old gate talks about the old path. Well, preacher, there's a lot of things changed in 2023. Man, we've changed so much in the last 5 years and the last 10 years with technology and all this, and it's not been for our betterment. Amen. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. We're going down the tank, but I'm glad there's still some folks that are seeking out the old path. And listen, that is our hope today. Listen, I'm trying to quit. I got to go one more place. John chapter number 4. Let me just give you just a little bitty note. I'm just going to hit it, and I'm going to quit by the grace of God. Jesus, the Bible said over John chapter number 4, that he's entered in this piece of ground around Sychar, and he must needs go through Samaria. There were some people over there that needed God. There were some people over there that needed the old pasture. You'll find where he sat down at a place called Jacob's Well. Hundreds of years had passed since that well had been dug. But on that well is where the Lord Jesus Christ met that Samaritan woman, and her life was changed. I'll tell you what's often overlooked in that account right there, Brother Randy, is somebody kept the well clean. Somebody kept the well clean. You go back into the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The Philistines would come in, and if my memory serves me right, about Genesis 26, the Philistines would come in, and they would fill up the wells that they had dug, because it was a source of life. It was a source of vitality. It was a source of strength. But the enemy came and would fill those wells up. And the Bible said that Isaac dug again the wells of his father. Dug again. Why did he start somewhere else? Because he knew it was a proven path. It was an old path. There was vitality. There was life. There was strength. There was vigor at the bottom of that well. And they dug it again. Now the enemies have tried their best to fill in the wells of the old past and the old ways today. They say, oh man, you got to reach these kids with jungle beat music. Baloney. Amen. Hogwash and pickle juice, as Brother Don used to say. I'm telling you, there's still a crowd looking for something real, and the smoke of this world will never satisfy somebody that's ever been exposed to the flames and the fires of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, getting in on some services, man, where the Holy Ghost is a-moving and God's people getting some help. Sinners are getting saved. That's what we ought to expose them to. That's what they need to see, something that will last throughout all eternity, not just something that'll make you pat your foot and feel good with your flesh. We need something that'll cut us. We need something that'll cleanse us. We need something that'll change us. And we got it right here in the King James Bible. Everything that you and I need. But somebody kept that well clean in John chapter number 4, or that woman would have never got help. Boy, how much more do we need to keep the well of the house of God clean? Somebody's kept it clean for over 50 years right here at Faith Community Baptist Church. By the grace of God, we want to continue to keep it. Do you know how easy it would have been for our leaders through the years, Brother Harold, to go a different direction, to go a more modernistic route, a more all-inclusive route? Well, let's just accept every wind of doctrine. Let's accept every... I believe a man ought to stand on something. Amen. Let's just accept any translation. Let's accept this jungle beat and this new music. Let's do this and do that. I tell you what we'd have had right now. We'd have had a mess. We'd have had a lot of confusion. I'm going to tell you, somebody kept the well clean. By the grace of God, we better keep the well clean, because all of us are going to come to that path. These kids, some of them on the front row, some of them scattered off. You're going to come to the path in your life. Which way are you going to go? If you don't turn the corner on sin, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. But if you'll come to Christ, man, He'll save your soul tonight. And even after you're saved, you're still going to be confronted with a path. Which way are you going to go? You going to profess yourself to be wise, or are you going to become a fool? Like Jesus laid, like the Word of God laid out there in Romans chapter 1. Boy, there's a lot in here for us to take from. Thank God for this old gate. But we better follow. We better stand as an individual. Stand ye. We better see. You better investigate what'll work and what won't work. And then praise God. You better inquire and ask for those old paths which are proven, man, which are precious. That and where peace is down that road as we stand all over the house. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I thank you for the privilege, Lord, to just share your word. God, I wanted to preach and not preach alone tonight, but this is where we ended up. And Father, I beg and I plead in Jesus' name that you take your word, it fall on good fertile soil. Lord, I just want to say thank you for those individuals in my life that kept their self clean, that followed the old past, that allowed me to see that proven way, that productive way, Lord, that peaceful way. Lord, I praise the church as we move forward. We'll continue, Lord, to seek, stand, and ask for the old past. Lord, we know it'll work. It's proven. Lord, we know proof is in the pudding. And Father, I pray if there's one here tonight lost, never been saved, someone might need to turn from sin tonight. Somebody's heading down that broad road that leads to destruction. I pray that you'd save them by your grace, by your power. I pray for that one maybe dabbling, Lord, in some things we hit on tonight, maybe even drugs and alcohol, different things. God, would you help them to see? They better follow your will and they better follow your word. God, I can't change them. Only you can. I pray that you'd do something now. During this invitation time, we'll give you thanks. Give you praise for what you do, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for a few moments. Sister Savannah, go on.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. So grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sins. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.